Thank you, Shannon. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as thy word is read and proclaimed, help us to open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. Amen. Our first scripture lesson comes to us today from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6. Please listen to and for the word of God. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Again, please listen to and for the word of God. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine clothes, fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate there laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he lay in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and between you is a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, so neither can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, that I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. As we come to this scripture today, Jesus shared this parable with the Pharisees. They were well-intentioned religious people whose love for wealth and status kept their eyes closed. Jesus loved them enough to warn them, warning them that how we live, how they live, and how we and see others profoundly matters in God's kingdom. We meet in here, first of all, we meet a man of luxury. Jesus said he dressed in purple and fine linen, signs of extraordinary wealth, and lived in indulgent comfort every day. He wasn't evil by reputation, but he lived as if his life was the only thing that he knew. Even even the Sabbath didn't change his routine. Comfort and his wealth became his God. Then we meet Lazarus. His name means God helps. Yet it looks like God hasn't. He's sick, he's hungry, and discarded at the rich man's gate. So close to help, yet completely removed, completely ignored. Jesus said dogs came to lick his sores, a tragic but tender image. Even the dogs showed him more compassion than other people did. Then comes the great reversal. Lazarus dies and is carried by the angels to Abraham's side, symbolizing honor, comfort, and belonging. The rich man also dies, but he finds himself in torment, far from relief. For the first time, he lifts his eyes and then sees Lazarus, but now it's too late. Even in judgment, the rich man doesn't get it. He still treats Lazarus as a servant. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water. He doesn't speak to Lazarus. He speaks about him. His worldview hasn't changed. He still sees people as tools, not souls. Abraham responds, "You had your good things." In other words, you lived your life on your terms and missed what matters most. There's now a chasm, a final divide that can't be crossed. Then the story turns one more time. The rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers. But Abraham says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen." Even a miracle won't convince people whose hearts are closed to compassion. Jesus crafts this story to open our eyes as well, to help us see clearly the spiritual realities among us, the people at our gates, and the hearts of evil. So what is he asking us to understand? Let's consider the truths Jesus is revealing about the heart of God. This parable isn't merely a cautionary tale. It's a vivid revelation that eternity, spiritual blindness, and the urgent call to holiness. Jesus pulls back the veil, urging us to see clearly not only what truly matters in this life, but also the eternal consequences for the things that we do in the life to come. Right away, Jesus emphasizes a profound reality. We live in a universe far more complex than the physical world around us. Angels minister unseen. God moves quietly, yet powerfully and eternally, far closer than we often imagine. The rich man's great tragedy was living as though this world, his wealth, comfort, and privileges, was all there was. His death didn't mark the end of his story. Instead, it abruptly awakened him to an eternal reality that he had ignored. Jesus clearly warns us that heaven and hell are real, very real indeed. And how we live now deeply shapes where we will spend eternity. Lazarus and the rich man both die, but their eternal destinies could not be more different. Jesus confronts us boldly with this truth. The choices we make now, the compassion we offer or withhold, and the people we notice or ignore have eternal consequences. These decisions are never small or insignificant. They echo powerfully into eternity. Consider Lazarus, whose name literally means God helps. At first glance, he seems abandoned, forgotten at the rich man's gate. His poverty and pain don't automatically qualify him for heaven. But in his suffering, he trusts God. Lazarus depended humbly and faithfully on divine grace. He endured silently, patiently, trusting in a God who ultimately honored and comforted him in eternity. In sharp contrast, the rich man found himself separated from God's comfort. And not because wealth is inherently sinful, but because he had allowed it to blind him significantly and spiritually to what was going on around him. Day after day, he stepped past Lazarus, not in cruelty, but in cold indifference. Indifference, as Jesus vividly illustrates, carries devastating eternal consequences. Hell wasn't imposed on by a vicious God or a vindictive God. It was the consequence of a lifetime of ignoring God's compassionate call for others. This parable challenges our perspective profoundly. Heaven and hell are real, eternal destinies that hang upon how we respond to others in this world are very real. God's grace is here and now. This life matters immensely. Every element carries eternal weight. But here's the promise and the hope. God's justice is real. It is sure. Eternity will set things right. Those overlooked and unseen on earth will be honored in heaven. Every injustice suffered in silence will find its answer in heaven. This assurance comforts us, especially when we suffer or we see others unjustly challenged and treated. God sees and remembers what the world overlooks and ignores. Even in our darkest suffering, grace spiritually sustains us. Lazarus endured profound suffering at the gate, but he was never forgotten. His very name reminds us God helps, and God indeed helped him quietly, faithfully, and powerfully until angels carried him home. Yet there is a clear warning. Wealth and comfort can dangerously numb us spiritually. They have a unique power to blind us, insulating us from the pain around us, causing us to treat people as ordinary rather than extraordinary, treating them as a problem rather than precious souls. The rich man wasn't overtly evil. He simply became spiritually numb, detached and insulated from caring and having comfort for others. And that numbness sealed his eternal fate. Reminds me of a song by Pink Floyd. Some of you all are Pink Floyd fans. Comfortably Numb, you know the song. Some of the lyrics go this way. This leads us to ask ourselves critically, who have we overlooked in our rush towards comfort? who sits quietly just outside our everyday routines, waiting to be seen. We sometimes imagine that extraordinary miracles or dramatic signs might awaken us spiritually. But Jesus firmly reminds us, you already have the scriptures. God's word is more than enough. It opens our eyes, awakens our hearts, and calls us urgently towards holiness. That's why in our Presbyterian traditions, we speak passionately of grace. Not merely saving grace, but sanctifying grace. Entire sanctification is God's gracious act of cleansing our hearts from spiritual blindness, filling us with holy love, love that sees, love that involves and helps us act towards others in need, love that serves faithfully. What if the person we've ignored is exactly the person God wants us to see? What if our eternal destiny and theirs depends on our willingness to truly see and respond? May God grant us eyes that clearly see and hearts that boldly respond. As we've grasped these truths, the question now becomes one of deeply personal. How do we cultivate eyes and hearts shaped by God's compassion? How do we become people who don't just look, but truly see as Jesus sees? One of my favorite musical people is a fellow called Phil Collins. Perhaps you all have heard of him. He's a fellow drummer. His drumming and mine are on different levels, but be that as it may, Phil Collins has a song, and I think, Dan, you have that for us. I want you to listen to it, and I want you to listen to it very carefully, the words to Another Day in Paradise.
Seems embarrassed to be there.
Who are the Lazaruses in your life? Who are the people you walk by? Who are the people you see but you ignore? Here's the bigger question. Why? Why? Amen.